What is that?
Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Philosophy.
What up, guys?
What up, guys? We're back again with another episode of Philosophy. Today, we have a very special guest.
Very, very special.
Go ahead, introduce him.
Galinho, a.k.a. Daniel.
Waters.
Danny. Danny Waters. Okay, or Daniel's
fine. We don't want to be too formal, so we'll stick with Danny.
Yeah, Danny's good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Anyway, as you know, we're continuing along on the series. Today, we are joined by a very special brown belt, following up from our purple belt episode with Patrick.
Isn't it a purple belt episode? Because yes. Patrick was the blue belt episode.
That's it.
You were the white belt episode.
You're telling me how to run my
podcast. I'm just saying. I was listening to when you explained it on your podcast. And by the way that you explained it, this would actually be the purple belt
episode. You're 100% correct.
Cool. Let's carry on.
I stand corrected. Thank you very much. Anyway, join
Pedantic.
A now brown belt for the purple belt episode.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Mr. Galinho, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Maybe how did you get started in jiu-jitsu? How did you get to be where you are today? And then we can hop into some of your achievements and some cool stuff.
I can waffle on about that for ages, so I'll try to keep it relatively brief. I got into Muay Thai, I think when I was about 25, 26, at a time in my life when I was a bit lost and I kind of needed something. I'd never really been into sports or anything like that, and I loved the training, and I competed a couple of times and I didn't really like it. I didn't really, didn't gel. And my friend was really into the UFC, and I had been told by a Muay Thai instructor in Thailand that grappling was gay, actually, he said. I didn't think there's anything wrong with being gay, but he was saying, I really don't, but he was saying that, it's just not real fighting. And so because you're kind of impressionable when you meet people like that, so I was just like, that's not real fighting, and it's gross to hit someone on the ground, it's immoral, and blah, 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 blah. My friend was really into MMA, and I said, it's disgusting, it's gross to fight on the ground, and all these things that this guy had told me. And then I watched some, and I watched Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard 2, and I was just blown away. I was so like into it. Got really into MMA, and my friend had always wanted to try jiu-jitsu, so I said, let's go to a class, because I was training a lot of Muay Thai. I didn't do jiu-jitsu at the gym that I was at in London, so I looked, I found London Fight Factory, the gym that we are now sitting in. We've made a den. It's a bit weird. But I found London Fight Factory. We booked a trial class. I came to the trial class, and it was horrendous. I felt like, oh, I'm kind of fit and we're beginners, it's going to be lame. Not lame, but like I'm going to be. And I was really like being the kind of, you know, I see people because I help out with beginners now, and you see people like that a lot. You know, just coming, they're like trying to show off with their press ups and show off with their sit up. Look how good I am. You might as well move me out of this class straight away. But then obviously, you know, Luis is just like cussing. First of all, I had zips on my tracksuit bottom, so I got screamed at for that. I went out, changed into some Muay Thai shorts. Got like, obviously, Muay Thai shorts are not ideal for grappling. Yeah. It's not worse than zips because you're allowed to train.
I know.
but when I went to go and get my Muay Thai shorts, I ran off without my shoes.
Oh.
So I just like, he was just like, fuck. So I was like, oh my God, but I was hooked. And from that first time we went to the pub afterwards, me and my friend, Paul Stocker, Biro, who still trains now. We went to the pub afterwards and we were just like, this is amazing. And then literally, I've not stopped since then.
What year was that?
That was 2012.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And like, was the gym still the same as this
building? The mats were different. Yeah, it was here. Yeah. They'd moved here, I think, the previous year in 2011. So not they hadn't been here long. But it's the same, man. Things have changed. The murals weren't here. The mats were different. But it's the same.
I love talking to higher belts, especially higher belts that I like.
Yeah, you only hug black belts though. What's that about?
Oh, well, weird. We can talk about that later. We'll get back into that.
I'm sorry. Your podcast. Let's go.
Your time will come. Don't worry.
Okay. Okay.
But the thing is, I love talking to higher belts, especially, you know, brown belts, black belts, who I've had the opportunity to roll with, mm-hmm. who just destroy me, and hearing their stories about like coming into the gym for the first day, because I think John today would probably destroy first day Galeno.
For sure.
You know. And
it's for sure. Yeah.
It's just crazy to think that you were once at that stage. Yeah,
that's what's lovely about jiu-jitsu. I remember hearing Firas Harbi talk about how when you see like a black belt, you just see like this amazing, you know, skilled magician. But what you don't see is them getting wrecked for years.
Yeah.
And that's what's lovely about jiu-jitsu is that it only works because you've tried and lost a lot. It's not like no one comes in and is just magic at it. And if they are, you know, a bit better than everyone else, they often just stop. It's like a lot of us who kind of struggle at the beginning, we stick with it because it's seeing yourself get better, and it's the challenge of it. It's nice.
Going along with that sentiment, it's like you just mentioned, years and years of just getting destroyed.
Mm.
Has there ever been a time in your career where you've wanted to give up, like truly, like where you were on the brink of saying that's enough? Have you ever taken any long breaks? Have you ever...
Nope. No, I've never wanted to give up. There's times when I haven't enjoyed it, and there's times when I've not, there's never been a time where I've not wanted to train, but there's this is weird. There's never been a time where I've not wanted to train, but there's been times where I've dreaded training.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I was still never thinking that there was anything else I wanted to do, but I don't know if you've ever had when you feel stress going to training, this is going to be a stressful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because of whatever's going on in your head or outside factors or pressures you're putting on yourself.
Yeah.
I've had that. But I've never contemplated quitting.
I think you're probably in the minority there, which is still amazing. I mean, Iki and I talk about this all the time. It's like, I think as far as motivation towards training, I think, and this is just my personal opinion, there needs to come a point where you've recognized... I think I talk about this in one of the episodes, where you can kind of treat jiu-jitsu like any relationship, like loving relationship that you have in your life, where you know there's going to be like hard days in that relationship, but you love that relationship and you want it to work for your life, so you keep coming and putting your best self forward, and it seems like...
That's really interesting, but it's interesting though, because I've actually... always struggled with that in my relationships, like with people.
Yeah.
<I'll>... yeah. I'm always contemplating, like, less so now as I kind of matured a bit, but like as we're younger with like family members, me and my family, if whatever, love them all dearly, but there's often we will like not speak for a year or 6 months or longer, there is that kind of thinking about quitting, essentially, with people that I've always struggled with. And I've never had that with jiu-jitsu. And jiu-jitsu is probably the first thing that I've ever had that with, where I'm just like, well, this is just, I don't know. But it's just not an effort. It sometimes is an effort to train, but it doesn't feel like I could stop doing it. I don't know.
One thing, like, when you first came, right? You're training.
Obviously, at first, it was just something fun to do. This happened over time. Yeah,
and I'm imagining, like, it's also kind of exciting because you're getting excited about UFC at the same time. So it's like, oh, shoot.
Man, UFC, I've started to, to enjoy watching jiu-jitsu more than I enjoy watching
UFC.
MMA. It's not UFC.
MMA. Sorry, my bad.
Come on.
More than I enjoy watching
the sport of MMA.
I'm totally on the same page. I don't enjoy watching MMA.
You were never like a big MMA fan, right?
Yeah.
MMA was like, I did not enjoy watching jiu-jitsu at all for maybe the first 4 or 5 years of training. Mm. Like I was super, but I watched every single MMA fight that was put on by the UFC.
Wow.
But I watched and some fights that were put on by other organizations of the sport of MMA.
Yes.
But the but now, since Nogi Worlds, I watched all of Nogi Worlds, was really excited about our friend who was on the last episode, Pat, competing, whatever, and I just watched so much of it, and I was just like, I love this. Like, I love just watching jiu-jitsu, which, to be fair, is not a good sport to watch if you haven't done it a lot, because it's just it's just hard to see what's going on. It's hard to see the fight.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Like, when you started watching more of jiu-jitsu rather than MMA,
it's really recently,
right? Like,
so I remember. Yeah, tell me,
because it's like, I'm thinking, so like, you're getting excited about jiu-jitsu, and you're going deeper into it, right? But was anything changing outside of the mat as you were doing that, like, especially like in your life? Could you see any difference or not really? Especially as you started going higher in belts and like
getting I guess it might just be that I am doing jiu-jitsu more than I've ever done before, and I've now done it for obviously longer than I've ever done it before, and so my understanding of it is, so it's jiu-jitsu is always, from the first day, is so fun to do, but I struggle to find it fun to watch. I'm not sure that anything has changed outside. I mean, other than that, I'm just doing jiu-jitsu. I mean, I literally, at the moment, I'm just doing jiu-jitsu and I'm watching jiu-jitsu videos and thinking about jiu-jitsu. So maybe it's that.
I have a question.
But, and yoga.
Yeah, we can get into yoga in a little bit.
We should all get into yoga.
Everyone should. I think that's probably a big part of your life as well.
And a good
help in your success in jiu-jitsu as well, probably. Fair to say?
It helps with just life, man. Okay. Just life. It's very like jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But in a different way. If you talk about that, like yin yang energy, like it's got that same, for me, uncomfortability where you have that. Because having said, I never wanted to quit jiu-jitsu, I often want to quit in a round. Like, you know, you have that, if someone's on top of you and your arms across your chest and you can't breathe.
I've never been there before.
Oh, let's roll later. And you're just like, oh, but you have to just find your kind of inner peace and keep moving and thinking. And yoga's like that. You know, you start and you're doing your the Series A or whatever it's called. Still don't really got the names. But and you're just like, oh, I don't want to be here. And then you're like, you have that internal battle.
Yeah, it's like someone said to me the other day that I should really get into yoga.
You'd love it, man.
But here's why, and hey, I want to get your take on it. They were like, you know, I was pretty stressed when I was talking to them, and I was like kind of irate, if you will. Like, you could tell that I was just like, and they were like, bro, you should really get into yoga. And I was like, yeah, yoga seems cool and all. I don't know that much about it, so maybe I'm speaking out of ignorance. But I said to them, like, jiu-jitsu is my yoga.
Totally.
Like, it's the time where I clear my mind and I don't think about the outside world. I think about, I'm present, I'm doing what I'm doing. But they were like, no. Jiu-jitsu is completely different than yoga.
It's true.
It's so violent.
No, I would agree with them, though, in a sense, is that it's easy to say, it's much easier to stay present with jiu-jitsu because someone's trying to choke you.
Yeah.
It's much harder to stay present when you're by yourself and you're just in an uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
And then you start saying like, oh, I don't want to... Like, it's much easier to run away with that internal monologue. And really what yoga is a meditation. So what you should be aiming for is, you know, like when you meditate, you just go with the breath, and as thoughts come in, you don't like run away from them nor run off with them. You just like let them pass.
You observe them.
You observe them, exactly. And so that's what yoga should, I think, as I understand it, as someone who's new, like a white belt speaking, like they know what the fuck they're talking about. No offense, Iki. I do think it's different from, because I don't think I would have got so into yoga if I hadn't done jiu-jitsu, because I would never have got into that feeling of being present and like empty minded, and jiu-jitsu is, I think, probably the first thing that gave me that. Yeah,
that's really interesting. Yeah, I should give it a try. Like you said, I think we should all give it a try.
I think you'd like it, man. I think it would.
I found it to be a little.
You can't just do it once and get it. Yeah. It's one of those things you just got to keep doing, and you keep showing up, and suddenly it starts to click and things start happening.
It's tough.
I can kind of agree with what you're saying about like yoga being harder to stick with than jiu-jitsu, because I had a knee injury. So one of my friends was a yoga instructor. She's like, I can help you. So we did yoga for 6 months. Mm. But as soon as my knee was fine and I moved away from Mozambique, so I wasn't seeing my friend every day, it was harder for me to leave the house.
Oh, sure. No, but I actually just mean that, like, it's harder to stick with in an individual session, not like to stick with over months and months and months. I don't know about that because I've not done it for so long, but just like that it's hot in jiu-jitsu. You have to stay present in a role, right? Because someone's like,
so like I meant like, for example, when I had to do it by myself, like when I left. It's like,
yeah,
it was harder to stick with 30 minutes, even 10. It's like just me without someone else giving me instructions.
Totally.
So just me, like, okay, don't worry, dog. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, because I've dabbled for, like, years in just by doing it on YouTube, and I never, I was just like, I don't really get it. It's only since going to a studio and these really intense classes with some cool teachers that I've started to, like,
community.
Exactly, man. It's so important. Yeah.
With anything.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
People there that are, like, looking forward to seeing you.
You feel the energy in the room. Yeah.
And a big transition now, right? Because since yoga is a meditative practice, right?
Mm.
Like, I'm imagining, I wanted to ask, when did you start competing in jiu-jitsu?
Okay.
And the thing is, like, when you started doing yoga,
yeah,
can you feel the difference between how that impacted your competition?
What?
You in competition? Does that make sense?
I'll try and make sense of it. The first time I competed in jiu-jitsu would have been in my first year at the first Checkmate Interclub, or the first European London Checkmate Interclub. I don't know. There were a few clubs, which was here. I had one match and I won. And yeah, I carried on competing. That was probably in a few. Actually, the first time I had that feeling of competing was, you know, Luis will sometimes just like throw on a random, like, okay, we're doing. Have you had that in your time? We're doing a competition. Someone's doing points. You're fighting him. You're fighting him. Yeah. So we had this, and it was suddenly a tournament, and I got an adrenaline dump, and I won my first match, and then I got smoked in my second one, and I just like. My legs went dead and I couldn't walk, and I was like, this is incredible. But it didn't have the feeling of like terror and sickness and horror that I'd had with Muay Thai fights. I was like, I wanted to feel more of it. Has yoga influenced competing? I don't know. Like, everything influences everything. I think more. A competition, my relationship with it has changed many times.
Mm.
From being something which I loved at blue belt to dreaded at purple belt to now again love. Like, it's a journey. I'm sure there'll be other times that I don't look forward to it. At the moment, whenever I book a competition, I get really scared, and I start like worrying, and then I just remember to enjoy that. And get on with whatever I'm doing to prepare for the competition. And on the day, the last few, I've loved it. Like, I felt so alive. Like, and every time that my, like what we're talking about, meditation, like every time my brain starts to run off with something, I can feel like the nerves running through my body, and I just remember to like enjoy it. Like, this is being alive, and this is something that I've chosen to do, and I'm lucky enough to do. Yeah, so it's changed, and I guess yoga has helped me, so I'm sure that in some way has spoke, but I'm kind of stitching it together. I haven't, because of your awkwardly wordy question.
Yeah, I mean, so speaking of competition, let's talk about your
Europeans.
Your huge achievement.
Yeah.
Just recently. So if for those of our listeners who don't know...
Which you all will know, because we're just speaking to our friends at the gym.
True,
so that's
true.
Cool.
Or those who've been living under a rock at the gym.
Or for Iki's mum.
Galinho won the Europeans recently in his division. Can you talk about that achievement leading up to it, what it was like? Did you expect to win? Were you hoping to win? What did you think you were... I don't know, what were you thinking?
Yeah, and I'm going to remember that this... So, obviously, we're talking about my purple belt. We're talking about... But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make your podcast work.
Thank you.
But what I would say is it meant a huge deal to me. Obviously, it's not like, you know, winning brown belt at adult. I won Master 2 brown belt, like feather. So it's my division. And I was so proud and happy to have done that. And it meant a great deal to me because I'd competed twice at the Europeans at purple belt and I'd gone out in the first round both times. The only other time that I'd done a big tournament previously to, I got bronze at the Brasileiros last year. So, but previous to that, I'd done my first competition at purple belt was the World Masters. And I put so much pressure on myself and I'd been winning and winning at blue belt. And so I was like, well, and I had all this like stuff that I would do and I'd be like visualizing winning and it was always working. Mm. And then I was going to compete at the World Masters purple belt and I was trying to do that. And I just, the reality of like getting smoked by my friends at the gym who hadn't yet got their purple belts, shout out Max, Jeff, Dan, and I was just like, well, if I'm not the best light feather master purple belt in the world, I know that on one level. So I was kind of lying to myself. So I really struggled. And then on the day of the comp, I had a lot of other stuff going on. And on the day of the competition, I just kind of froze, and which hadn't happened to me, at least, no, it hadn't really happened to me. And I got, I got choked out in like a minute. Oh. And was just and had gone all the way obviously to Las Vegas and had a lot of support getting there and I was just mortified and it knocked me back a lot. And then after that, competing became this battle of like, who am I, and I need to be better at jiu-jitsu and yeah. One day I'll be good and now I'm shit. And that's when I kind of would have this like dread of going into training. But over time that changed, and a big change for that was going to Brazil and just getting wrecked by everybody but also having no pressure, because like I was getting wrecked by everyone and I should be getting wrecked by them. And a thing had happened for me at the gym, because I'd been here a long time, I felt like I had to beat certain people and then I couldn't lose to one, and I had to, and it was okay to lose to them but I couldn't lose to them. And that all went, and I realized that I just liked doing it, and it reminded me of why I like, because I'm a small guy, not very athletic, and so when I started jiu-jitsu I was just getting wrecked all the time and I loved it. Like I you know, I wouldn't tap anyone, I'd get smoked, and I had a great time. Like I enjoyed being there and I enjoyed the process, and that I'd lost that somehow, and that came back in Brazil. And so then the Brasileiros was cool. And
so wait a second, you went in Brazil, mm-hmm. and you're in purple belt, right? And you're
in yep.
purple belt. How much time did you spend in Brazil? And
3 months.
3 months.
I went to Brazil for 3 months. I stayed in Santos for 2 months. I went to Rio for like a week, Sao Paulo for a couple of weeks, and Londrina to see a friend for a week as well. But
so, like, I want to ask you this because I remember you mentioning this once in conversation. Training look like
it was very different. A place called The House in Santos near Sao Paulo, where John, you've trained, right? It was horrendous. Like it was, because there was a competition training which would run from 10 till 1, and officially it was 10 till 12, and then there was another class 12 till 1, but officially 12. And he was like, no, I'll tell your professor. I got told off, so I was just like, I'm gonna go. And I went to Brazil for 3 months. I didn't drunk like once. So I was just training. But the training was just, often you do a warm up for like 10 minutes and then it would just be situational, maybe for 50 minutes. Then on Fridays it was 10 minute. Plus the room was like, sometimes there'd just be like a couple of black belts and a couple of blue belts and me. Sometimes there'd be like quite a lot of people. But often I would get paired up with like, there was a white belt there who was about 100 kilos, a 20-year capoeira black belt. So he could like do backflips and forward flips and all kinds of mad shit. And he'd just like pick me up and throw me. And I'd have to do like 3 10-minute rounds with him. And I was like, what am I doing here? This is awful. But it was just there were people there. There was a blue belt there who was 17, now a purple belt, Marcelo Fausto. He won Worlds at Blue. He just got bronze at the Pans. very close match in which he lost by armbar, but it was very close up until that point. You know, a real phenom, 17 years old, blue belt, and he would wreck me. And he was just better at jiu-jitsu, like, and I was getting, but do you know what, being there and like going every day, I was like, oh, but I like it. Like, I like that. I like that feeling. It's nice.
I remember I did that lunchtime competition training. Yeah. And
yeah, 2 months I did it. I
did it only once. I was there for a week, but I only did it once. And I was so scared and my adrenaline was pumping so hard that it felt like 5 minutes because I was so like...
Right.
You know, I finished the training. I'm like, what just happened?
No, on my first day, I was like, oh my God. I'm in bad trouble. Yeah.
And that was every day.
Yeah, 5 days a week. Yeah, and then there was one training on a Saturday. Yeah, and then then after the first like 3 weeks when I was acclimatized, I'd do the evening class as well. So yeah, I trained a lot, and getting those hours in of just hours on the mat. You know, not being able to, not having anything to do. I was living like a great life. I just would eat, sleep, train, repeat. It was beautiful. Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. So, you know, one thing I wanted to ask as you were talking about your competition, we kind of segued a little bit. You mentioned a few, like, first round losses, especially in, like, bigger competitions where people are like, oh, you're going to the Worlds. Like,
it's horrible.
So how do you deal with it? I've had quite a few, and I know how I deal with it, not too well. So maybe you could give some of our listeners, like, advice.
It's awesome, actually, because I can... I don't know if I can give advice, but I now, for a long time, like in my life, I've had people give me encouragement or praise, and it's made me feel really uncomfortable on the inside. I was an actor from the time that I was like maybe 8 until about 26.
I didn't know that. Fun
fact. And I at times was quite successful. Relatively, but I always had a real uncomfortability about success. So when I'd have work, I'd feel uncomfortable, and when I didn't have work and people were like wishing me luck or like you've got an audition, it would make me feel really uncomfortable. And that resurfaced with those kind of big tournaments, because you know everyone in the gym wants you to do well, and the longer you train for, like when you go to the London Open, when I go to the London Open now, like obviously we all support each other, but you know when someone who's been training at the gym a lot, there's a lot of support, and that used to freak me out. Like it made me feel really uncomfortable, and I would, every time anyone would say like, oh, well done, I would feel this. It's hard to explain.
Is that a British thing or?
I don't know. maybe yeah, a bit. But I would feel uncomfortable, and a lot of it I think is about not being present. So I would be rushing off to like the event of the competition, or maybe like, and seeing myself win or seeing myself lose. But now I just, if that's all gone, and I just like, if someone says well done, I just take it for what it is and say thank you.
Yeah.
And you know, the moments that are gonna happen in the future are not happening now, and how you feel then is just gonna be how you feel then. So there's no point in living in that space.
The power of now.
Man, that concept has been incredibly powerful for, I wouldn't just say for competition, but just for my life. I mean, there's other books now I've read which kind of expand on it better, I think. But just being present and aware and realizing that you are not all the mad shit that runs through your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The future hasn't happened yet. We're getting all philosophical here. Sorry.
Philosophy. Yeah, my friend. We ain't even started. Started yet.
The future hasn't happened yet, so there's no point in letting your mind wander to this.
Or the past.
Or the past, yeah. Or, you know.
Or really anything other than right now. More, like, this is all there is.
It's very true. You know Nicholas Mirigali?
Yeah.
I saw a little video of his. Where he was having some disappointing performances, and his coach, he took a little break from jiu-jitsu, short one, but very long in his eyes, like 2 weeks or something, you know. And his coach was like,
didn't train in the afternoon session.
Yeah, his coach was like, you need to read The Power of Now, right now. See what I did there?
It's good. It's weird. It was given to me by someone at the gym, Stuart. And
shout out Stuart, mate.
Shout out Stu. and it's awesome. Yeah, it's an awesome book.
Really what good. Are the books that you suggest on the topic?
The Untethered Soul, also given to me by Stuart, is that more so than the Path Now? Is
what the
Untethered Soul,
the Untethered
by
Soul.
Michael A. Singer. More so than The Power of Now, that's a beautiful book.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I have another question. This is a podcast.
Now is the time, man. Now is the time.
Well, I think we've got so much content to talk about that a part two of Galeno would be nice as well.
Yeah. Anytime, man. I think your podcast should be longer anyway. When you were speaking to Pat, not so much the one with you, but It's a joke. I was being mean. God, guys. when you were speaking of that, I was like, I want this to go on. I want this. I want more, man.
It's good. What are your goals in jiu-jitsu? Do you have goals? I know we're not thinking about the future right now. We're just living in the moment.
I give myself goals. Like, this year, I've got goals. I want to win the next one I'm doing.
Do you have more long-term goals, though? Like, where?
Yeah, I want to have a gym. I want to have... I want to be... I want to be a good teacher. More, I mean, because I started jiu-jitsu late. Late. And
how old were you when you started?
I think I was 28 or 29.
Wow.
So I want to, I'm not going to win adult worlds or like be a famous competitor. I want to be a good teacher, and I think I can be.
Yeah.
So basically that, have my own gym and use it to help people be better at jiu-jitsu. But you know, you see how, or I feel how much of a positive influence jiu-jitsu has been on my life, and how much having someone like Luis, who's, you know, a powerful presence, right? to say the least. And I want to be that for people, someone who can help people find a way, whether that be through jiu-jitsu or not, because you see it all over the place at the gym, that he helps people find a way. That's, I guess, my biggest goal.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I think we all have similar aspirations, but it's like, I think, especially when you get to brown belt, black belt, these sorts of aspirations become like potential realities. Not that they're not potential realities for the rest of us, but they become like more so, like you're almost there.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
In a sense.
I guess so, but then also you realize that you're not there at all. Like, I mean, when we talk about, I was speaking to someone yesterday about their how you change your game. So like when you've done jiu-jitsu for a time, obviously you have a game, and then you learn new stuff, but you just learn it and it goes. So you realize that you need to like focus on bringing some like part of jiu-jitsu in to expand your game, but in to do so, you have to resist using the things that you're good at. It's very hard. But like I was going through the things that I want to learn. I want to learn
leg locks.
Worm guard, leg locks, Baron Bolo, collar drag, arm drag, takedowns. So I basically know no jiu-jitsu, right? That's like what I came to realize. I don't know any jiu-jitsu. So like, and I've been training for ages.
Yeah.
And I train all the time. So like, there's no, I don't think you're ever gonna, maybe you will, but you know, you see people come to the gym who've got all these stripes on their belt, and they're still like interested in sharing techniques. I've seen like black belts geek out with each other about, oh, like, and it's that's so cool, man.
Yeah. Well, the learning never stops, it seems. I mean, like, when can you ever say you know jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, there's always going to be cool stuff, you know, that you can, or like refinements and. Yeah. But for me, at the moment, just like straight up stuff that I don't know. Yeah, the Tom Halpin seminar was awesome, and I'm really trying to get that. The saddle, that's also on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I want to be able to. So yeah, I want to be able to do.
How's your takedown game?
Super lame.
Yeah.
super lame.
Join the club.
You know what? Yeah, it's lame. I haven't really got much to say.
You know what?
I've taken down some people, but they were really bad. Yeah. so, no offense if I've taken you down.
Yeah,
taken
a win is a win.
I still haven't taken anyone down.
So no, yeah, my takedown game is not good. Okay, here's my justification.
Uh-uh.
In my division in jiu-jitsu that I want to be good at,
mm-hmm.
everyone pulls guard.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're in a situation like a judo competition or exchange, then it would be good to have the ability to take down because you have to take the person down. But if as soon as you make contact with the other person, they've sat on their bottom, then your takedown is useless and they're now playing guard and I wanted to play guard.
Yeah.
So I've not invested not much time. Also, it's scary trying to take people down when they're bigger than you. Whereas being on the ground with someone a bit bigger than you isn't so scary.
Yeah. I agree with that.
But this is excuses. This changes now. I'll see you at Fundamental Wrestling Class 9:30 on Saturday. Bro. 100%, bro.
Is it happening this weekend?
Well, as far as I know.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Iggy and I thought that it was happening last week. Yeah. We were there. We were ready to go.
Yeah, like 9 o'clock.
I was even looking at wrestling shoes online. You hear that, people? John Jitsu's coming.
I've got a pair of wrestling shoes that I've had for about 5 years that still look crispy new.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's not nice. They shouldn't look like that after 5 years.
You're
they
a
should
beginner.
Get wrecked. Yeah, I'm a beginner. So you're beginners, man, for sure.
Cool, guys. So it's official. We did not talk about the experience of being a purple belt because this podcast.
I tried to get it back.
It's like you know one thing. It's like the other day we were talking about doing this podcast and we had like a 30-minute conversation on the mat and we're like, "Fuck, we should have recorded this, right?"
Yeah.
And it's So this.
It's a good podcast, man. I've really enjoyed listening to it. So yeah, keep it up, guys. It's super cool.
Thanks. Come special. You know what you're talking about, being the teacher, being like a teacher in the future and stuff like that. You are right now. But I wanted to say thanks because I could never get triangles for months.
Yeah.
Until one class.
Man, tell you the more than it's like I've had this a few times recently of like having taught a class and then someone's come up to me and said I couldn't do X, Y, or Z, and then I did something you showed me and it started to work. And like, obviously I'm just getting all of this information from teachers we've had here, from my instructor Louise, or from like instructionals and stuff. But having someone say that, it makes me feel so happy. Like, it is such a nice feeling. So thank you, Iggy. That's beautiful. Thank you. Peace.
Good stuff. All right. So unfortunately, I think we're going to have to cut it off here.
Yeah.
But
we out.
We look.
Peace.
Oh, wait a minute. Not that simple.
We want Galinho to promise us
with
testimonial from you guys that there is going to be a second part.
I talk about jiu-jitsu all day. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, anytime.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
All right, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah, much appreciated.
Peace. Peace out.
Peace out.